You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, October 3rd, 2014. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the three-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, it's Friday. It's Cliff Schechter Day. Also on the program, ostensibly to give me a movie recommendation for the weekend and maybe beyond, Matthew Film Guy will be with us. Also on the program today, jobs numbers up, wages not so much. And in Scalia, somebody let him out of his cage to remind us that the Constitution does not protect us from religion. It just protects religion. Also on the program, the latest in the voting wars in Wisconsin. ACLU heads to the Supreme Court to file an emergency injunction against the voter ID law in Alabama. An anti-abortion law challenged because it calls for teenagers who are going to the courts to get permission to get an abortion to face a series of witnesses from their life as to whether or not they should get one. And in Ferguson, Missouri, voter registration is up 30% since Michael Brown was shot.
Keep voting.
Well, we'll see what Bush and Chains has to say about that. Voting. And, of course, we are just, is it 1 month now from the midterm elections and looking a little bit gloomy, but we will talk to Cliff about that. A couple of notes. Want to remind you, of course, that our doing the show is predicated on members signing up for the show and supporting even the free show, folks. And Fridays are mostly free. The whole show tends to be free. If you are an enjoyer of the Friday show, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to ask. If you just listen to Fridays only, that may be a bridge too far, but occasionally you hit the donate button, right? But if you listen to like two free shows a week, which is the normal number of podcasts, that's even a lot for most podcasts. We do five. And the only way that we can continue to do that is with your support. So if you can become a member, please do so at majority.fm. Also, you can support this program by donating your Twitter or Facebook account, particularly Facebook. Apparently, you need to refresh the permissions. Once a day, we will send out a YouTube clip, and your account will automatically post it. We never send out spam. We never send out ads. We never send out anything but what is content from this show. So head to donateyouraccount.com. Just look for Majority Report and sign up If you want to do once a day, that would be great. Once a week, that doesn't hurt. And once a month, it's okay. That's another way you can support this program. Let me read this email just to give you a sense of some of the emails we get in the office. We were laughing about this. It's a they're pushing for a guest on Ebola. And the subject line is Ebola in depth. Oh, okay, good. This sounds like something I might be interested in, something that's a little bit wonky. Let's hear their sales pitch. Every day, it seems, we're hearing about another new case of Ebola. The White House is already pushing Congress for an additional $88 million for drugs and personnel to be dispatched to the epicenter of the Ebola outbreak in Africa. Todd Blank, an expert on Africa and former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State of African Affairs of the, comma, has written a book, The Golden Hour, which is topping bestseller lists and takes a look at how Washington works with African nations as well as reveals life on the ground there. Talk to Todd on October 24th about this alarming outbreak. He'll provide insight on Ebola and the African nation. So, folks, if you ever hire a publicist, make sure that you actually just take a brief look at what they write and send out. I hired somebody for Who's the Caboose back in the day. Yeah, 18 years ago when we went to the Aspen Comedy Festival. They sent out a 2-page press release and misspelt Who's 3 different ways in one document. Title of the movie. And
you didn't even need to really even hire someone because that Black Diamond Award brought more press than anything.
Oh, yes. The only thing they did is brought me clippings of the stuff that I did. Look at this. You got an award in Variety. Yeah, I know. I made up the award and I bought the ad. Oh, all right. Well, I just wanted to see if you wanted you want 2 copies?
Great job.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Cliff Schechter. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. Folks, it's Casual Friday. I'm wearing a soft collared shirt. And you also, you know what that means. Not just am I sitting back in my Zumbas, sweatpants. I'm not wearing any pants, ladies and gentlemen. It's Casual Friday. And not only is it sartorially casual, but it also means that we play this.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC.
Now, I know our next guest is an app user, and so he will be interested in knowing that our update has still not been posted by Apple, but we put it in almost a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. So the app is on iOS 8 is not working, but it will be soon. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, I'm talking about Cliff Schechter, not quite a technology reporter, but...
Still, a brilliant technologist.
But a brilliant technologist. Now, Cliff.
I'm not sure what that means, by the way, but I made it up on the spot. Go ahead.
I love it. So Cliff, you
yes,
just
sir.
Told me you were just watching you repeats of Spin City. Is that right?
I was. Well, one of our fans actually sent out an old, not that old, of course. What was it, an episode of Spin City where this guy with his sort of, I would call it a bit of a fro of sorts, was pretending that he knew all sorts of signals to talk to the deaf.
Sign language?
I think sign language. It.
Right.
My brain's not working very well today, apparently. Yes, sign language. But he was, you know, he was a funny guy, and he was doing all sorts of crazy motions for things, and he got tackled by Michael J. Fox. And
That's
it
right.
turned out it was you.
That's right. It was indeed... I did two guest spots on Spin City back in the day, and one of
that
them
was sort of back when you chose a career that actually paid money.
Oh my gosh, yes, that was actually a very fun time working in New York City, just walking to work and getting paid. you know, essentially the like what you'd get if you were a teacher in New York for the entire year. But
that's because we have our priorities right.
It was interesting too because at that time, Michael J. Fox, for a while, he was offset, and they were telling people that he had Lyme disease. But in fact, it was they knew at the time that it was what does he have? He has Parkinson's, is it?
He had early Parkinson's, yeah. I think. That's a shame. So they were, yeah. That was already starting then. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nobody on the set knew it, as far as I know. But he was actually a really nice guy to work with, and. And I guess
you were really no sort of, you know, BS. It's fun making fun of you, but you're actually pretty funny in that clip. Sam.
Oh, well, thank you. In fact, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we will. I improvised a lot of that stuff in the audition. And I think it was when the mayor was talking about TV production or film production or something like that. I just signaled like a do and blow, and I think that's what got me the gig.
Yep.
All right, but I want to. We got a lot to talk about, Cliff.
That's right. We got to move beyond your acting career.
We have to move. Certainly, I think everyone else has. Before we get
that,
into, I want to get into the races. Next week, I'm heading down to a tort conference in Vegas. With Ring of Fire, and we'll be doing the show from there. You will not be there, as far as I know.
I don't know. They don't invite me anymore. No,
oh,
I'm just
really?
Kidding.
No, I'm sorry.
No, they do. It's got, I've, you know, stuff.
I
young kids and things and, you know, work and whatever.
I understand. I have none of those things, but I will be doing the show. But more than likely, I won't be able to. I don't know. Well, it remains to be seen. I might be able to get you on the phone. I might not. But in the event we're not, we're still now... 4 weeks away from the election, I want to talk about those races because you know I'm convinced there's a lot more import to this election than I think we're hearing in the media. But before we do, I just got to play this because we were playing it before the thing, and it's absolutely crazy. Obviously, there is a case of Ebola that has been. Or a patient in Texas who has Ebola. He did not contract Ebola in this country. As of yet, no one has contracted Ebola in this country. It is infectious, but it is not contagious in the sense that...
It's not through the air.
Right.
Passed on through the air. Except for if you're on Fox, where they tell you that.
Indeed. Well, apparently, here is a clip from Fox's Andrea Tantaros, who is on that Stuck in the Middle show or whatever it is, surrounded.
I think Bill Maher.
Oh, Outnumbered. Okay.
You know, Bill Maher put it smartly the other night, or, you know, for people that think Elizabeth Hasselbeck is too intellectual.
That's right. And
Andrea Tantaros.
And here she is explaining how, I don't know, somehow she managed to get Obama taking a vacation into this as well. But here is her discussing the problem with African Ebola patients.
Well, I talked with Dr. Siegel, who's part of our medical aid team here, and he says that in any regard, whether they're looking for Ebola, the flu, or whatever, you always, when somebody comes in who presents certain symptoms to the ER, you always ask him where they were recently. He said, this was incompetence. Mm-hmm. And what he wants to know is, where's the accountability now? Are we going to hear that people are going to be fired at that hospital, so on and so forth?
I think we know that we can't rely on people for human intelligence. We can't. And there's going to be breakdowns.
Cliff, I just want you to note that. You cannot rely on people for human intelligence.
Much better to rely on satellites for human intelligence.
That's right. Okay. Continue.
Because humans are going to have failures. We saw they let him out of this hospital, and he exposed himself to children. So, Harris, I don't think we can trust them to give us the accurate information. We may see people getting on flights saying they haven't come in contact with anybody, and maybe they have because they want treatment in the U.S. We are not equipped to handle this. And at the time when we should be preparing, the president was dancing in Martha's Vineyard and assuring us that this would never happen. I'll say it before, I'll say it again. In these countries, they do not believe in traditional medical care. So someone could get off a flight and seek treatment from a witch doctor that practices Santeria. This is a bigger fear. We're hoping that they come to the hospitals in the U.S. They might not.
All right.
Now, Cliff.
Let me put this all together so I get it. So you get Ebola and you say to yourself, I'm going to get on a flight and go all the way to the United States to see a witch doctor who practices Santeria. Is that the correct understanding of the statement that imbecile just made?
Well, I think more or less, but I think it probably goes more like this. I'm going to go on the big metal bird that will take me to the world of where all the witch doctors live.
It will flap its wings to take me to the new world.
It is also known as America. I mean, first off, the idea that they don't believe in traditional medical care, it really is just a function of the fact that they don't have the resources, and that's why the U.S. government is attempting to provide those resources. But I will say this, that she did get right. You cannot... you certainly cannot rely on Andrea Tantaros for human intelligence.
No.
Hold on. Let's let somebody from weigh in.
I'm dancing. Don't bother me. The roof's on fire. Let the motherfucker burn.
There you go.
Ebola outbreak.
There you go.
It's a house party on Martha's Vineyard. You realize I love that she had to add. I just have to break in. Not only are we going to go with this witch doctor garbage, but it's not just that the president was on vacation, blah, blah, blah. He was dancing.
That's right.
That was actually right before he played basketball.
I was going to say, it's too bad she couldn't work in there.
If I could fit in the Ebola crisis in between the ball game, I'll do it.
Before basketball and after being lazy and laying on a hammock.
There you go.
Before collecting a welfare check.
There's watermelon at the Ebola meeting?
No, there isn't. There's just the watermelon-flavored toothpaste.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about that.
Fried chicken and ISIS? Done.
All right. Let's get to... I just had to play that because it was just...
No, you do,
because
she's an imbecile, and that's what Fox News does. And
I'm really starting to think that the business plan for that outnumbered show is just... to get YouTube hits, I think, you know, with their stupidness. But all right, let's move past that. Let's talk about this. So people, if they want to start to engage and to see what the chances are for the Democrats to hold the Senate. And look, again, you know, Cliff, I think we've talked about this, but the relevance of holding the Senate, we're talking about Supreme Court justices. We're talking about judge appointments. We're talking about cabinet appointments. We're talking
regulatory
about
regulatory officers.
That I think is even bigger. You know, like things like the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, these sort of independent agencies, the National Labor Relations Board. These
spend time wasted on hearings over every dumb thing they can dream up.
The hearings, but they can actually strip a lot of the regulatory agencies of their funding. They can, they can chip away at this stuff. And then there's, on the flip side of that, there's also, there are things that President Obama wants to do that none of us want him to do. And a yes. Republican Senate may very well, including the House, which is going to move to the right, it looks like, and may have a governing majority. In other words, much easier for them to pass things with just Republicans.
Right. The irony of this all might be that we may have to, like we had to with the grand bargain, quote unquote, rely on the wingnut strategy, which is that enough people on the far right will not vote for something because it means actually, you know, voting for something that a black man supports. So, you know, or that's something that's going to bring us one world government where the UN will take over all of our golf courses.
Right. I'm talking about, we're talking about the TPP and the TTIP.
Right. So they wouldn't vote against it because, let's say, it hurts workers or the environment or anything like that. They would not vote for it because of some trumped up, you know, Ted Cruz type crazy theory. And in the end, that's the only, we'd have to rely on that insanity to stop it. Because again, as we've, you know, talked about, President Obama, he has things he wants to get done, and to him, passing legislation is worth it, as we saw with that, for example, that compromise on the judges, as we've seen with that one terrible judge, Boggs, who thankfully was eventually blocked, as we've seen, you know, on the grand bargain, other stuff like that. He's perfectly willing to vote for stuff that a minority of a minority in this country supports, if the Republicans push it on him. You know, if that means he can get one or two things out of it he likes.
Right. All right. So with that said, give us a sense of what's going on. There are six states that the Republicans are looking to take from Democratic either incumbents or a vacated seat: Louisiana, Arkansas, Alaska, Montana, South Dakota, and West Virginia. What's happening with those six states?
Well, first, let's say it looks like now that two states that originally targeted, North Carolina and Michigan, Democrats are doing very well and are relatively far ahead and run good campaigns, and the Republicans have been very flawed. It's not to say any of that's over yet, but it looks like those two are off. And there's two others we'll talk about in a second that are really more challenging right now. But of those six, you know, what you've had is, you've got three open seats that where Democrats have left. West Virginia, they've got the Secretary of State. Her race hasn't seemed to catch much fire. And you know, what's her name? Shelley Moore Capito,
right,
daughter of a former governor there, in a trending Republican state, you know, it looks like that's not a good situation for us. Montana, I don't think there's a progressive running there who's never really gotten the resources, and after that whole mess of the John Walsh pulling out because of plagiarism, has hurt there. The one of the important ones that I like to talk about, that I think is important to talk about, is what's going on in South Dakota, where essentially, you know, a friend of mine and maybe of yours who writes for, you know, runs his own blog, Down with Tyranny, Howie Klein, who isn't really afraid of anybody and writes about things as he sees them and as he talks to insiders. He's been writing about this for a while, and it's now been in the Hill and other places, which is, you know, Harry Reid originally wanted the candidate there to be Stephanie Herseth Sandlin, who was in the House and was ousted. It was as blue dog gets. That's who he wanted. But Rick Wyland decided to run, who's a former aide of Tom Daschle's, and is a progressive populist in all the best senses of that phrase.
You know, I actually interviewed him at Netroots Nation, but we had technical difficulties. I was never able to run the interview. And, you know, the guy sat down. I hadn't even heard much about him. And I generally am a little hesitant to just talk to candidates running because it's usually not a terribly interesting interview. But this guy was pretty good, I got to say.
Yeah, he's good, and he's got some experience, and it seems like a smart guy. And, of course, Daschle, through his support behind him, and I'm not sitting here saying that Daschle's the most wonderful guy in the world because we could talk about Tom Daschle's lobbying, but we're not going to because that would take up. I'm just saying in this case, Daschle did the right thing, and through his support behind Weiland and others. Well, Harry Reid was miffed because, you know, Stephanie Herseth Sandlin wanted to have it handed over to her, didn't want to run in a primary, especially against somebody progressive who might force her to talk about how much of a blue dog she is on certain issues. So she dropped out. And because it seems Harry Reid has been personally peeved about that, it seems like he might actually be willing to give up the Democrats controlling the Senate because he's annoyed, which is just incredible. I mean, when you look at some of these races and some of the things that go on, you often think that these guys, people are better than that, and that they can put aside personal differences to do, especially if they're going to be the majority leader. But he's come out and actually said, oh, we're going to lose South Dakota, the DSCC, which still sort of, he controls it at least, even if Michael Bennett from Colorado controls it nominally. They're not going to do anything Harry doesn't want them to do, has given no support to Weiland. And Mike Rounds, who's the incumbent governor, is in this huge scandal over there of handing out visas, for money.
We should say, okay, here's the deal. Now, Rounds, now the only the argument that the Democrats in Washington say, look, we've seen the internal polls. Weiland doesn't have a chance of winning. It would be a waste of money. But there's a couple of things to note before we get to what's going on with Mike Rounds. Mike Rounds is the sitting governor who's running for Senate. He's leading with 35%. This is the most recent public policy polling. He's got 35%. Weiland's got 28%. An independent, Larry Pressler's got 24%.
Who's sort of a former Republican senator, but one of the moderates, an actual moderate from when there used to be those, who endorsed Obama for president twice. So, he falls in that kind of middle ground area.
And the presumption is that guy would caucus with the Republicans or nobody
knows?
That's
a great question. I don't know what the assumption is with Pressler, which way he would, I mean, his politics are probably similar to an Orman or an Andrew or an Angus King, as a moderate kind of, frankly, even like a Joe Manchin. So, who knows what he would do in the end. I don't think I've ever heard that talked about. But in the end, look, you're looking at a situation here. I'm sure some Republicans, I haven't seen the analysis, are not voting for Rounds because he's so right-wing and because he's basically a scumbag and has been involved in these scandals. So they're going with Pressler. And you've got Weiland, who, polls are showing to be as close as some of the other people who the DSCC, at least at times, has put major money behind. I mean, you have to remember initially they were supporting, the right-wing Democrat in Mississippi against Thad Cochran. I think they finally maybe were disabused of that notion. The former congressman down there at Childers, but they've been, they've done that and they put money into some other races. So the fact that this guy has gotten no money, no support, nothing, and is only down 7 points. I mean,
and people should remember that a dollar spent in South Dakota versus a dollar spent in, let's say, well, probably just about anywhere else, goes a long way. I mean, this is a very small media market. You can, for a very small amount of money, relatively speaking, you can make a big splash, and it is...
It just seems crazy to leave that on the table. You're telling me you couldn't put $1 million or $2 million, as you're saying right now, into that state. The turnout operation that they're putting in a bunch of other states that's been lauded, it's for Obama's former turnout operation, where they're saying that it could help Democrats as much as 2 to 3 points, because of what they're doing. You couldn't do that in South Dakota and also maybe put $1 million into ads, pointing out the scandal that is Mike Rounds. It just seems it's incredible to me. And, this isn't just some conspiracy theory. Again, now the mainstream media has picked this up. It's been reported that these two guys, and frankly, Harry Reid's chairman insulted Daschle in this article. And so it's clear that this feud really is going on. It's not some made up thing. And it's just incredible to me. And actually, if you read in one of the other races where the DSCC has gotten on board, but where it's clear that they do try to pick their horses, which I don't think anybody doubts, but if you want more evidence, where Sam Nunn has said that his daughter, if Michelle Nunn's elected, will not need to support Harry Reid because Harry Reid tried to get her out of the race for another blue dog, John Barra, who literally is the most right-wing House member of all of them. Of every Democrat in the House, he is the most right-wing. And so they didn't want Michelle Nunn. They wanted this guy instead. Even if Michelle Nunn's not your cup of tea, she's kind of a moderate or maybe, whatever she is.
For Georgia, right.
Right, but she's certainly not as conservative as Barrow. And Sam Nunn says that, he came out and attacked and basically insulted Harry Reid, too, and said this. So clearly this has gone on. And, it's just infuriating. Because obviously there's new opportunities that popped up, like the one in Kansas, where you've got the independent on the ballot. The courts just the other day said there doesn't need to be a Democrat. He's leading by 46-41, you know, which is amazing that Roberts is only at 41. He also has, he's very personally wealthy, so he can put his own money into this thing. And Kansas actually looks like a very solid potential pickup opportunity, which is amazing. Again, Orman's not the kind of Democrat that Weiland is, for that matter. He's not progressive the way he is. But, you know, he's for background checks and immigration reform and wants to get rid of Citizens United, and his pro-choice and all of those things from Kansas are remarkable, frankly. So you've got that. But right now, you know, we're in a position where we're actually losing by a little bit, or tied at best, in Iowa and Colorado, which are both purple states,
yep.
You know, and it makes you wonder, you know, and say to yourself, should we be doing, or should we be setting up a firewall and doing a kind of triage strategy? I mean, you know, Mark Pryor and Mary Landrieu are both against, for example, against flawed opponents. You know, they can handle it. It's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. It looks like a lot of people are getting involved spending in Colorado and Iowa, but my God, I mean, we've got in both those places. In Iowa, we have a progressive, you know, in Colorado.
Bruce Braley, and we should just tell people that, you know, Bruce Braley, a pretty good populist in the House, who just made a mistake of mocking
farmers, which is a relatively big mistake in Iowa,
right.
On videotape. It is, you know,
he didn't mock farmers. He mocked the sitting senator.
But he said you want a lawyer sitting on the judiciary, not a farmer.
Right.
I mean, he said something negative about the fact that Grassley was a farmer, which in Iowa, you know, it's like if you were saying you don't want a Mormon sitting there in Utah, that probably
right.
wouldn't help you, right? So, I mean, see, you know, you've got a situation where Braley has not run the best campaign. He's also had one or two other gaffes, but he would be a really good senator from his past record. And I just feel like you got to do everything in your power to get those two over the top in those two states. And so, I mean, you know, that's really the situation right now, because if they win those six seats and the Democrats were to just win Kansas, then the Democrats would still have control. If Orman, and I should say the independent one, if Orman decided to caucus with the Democrats, well, it would seem he'd be more comfortable, as the Republicans are attacking with everything they've got right now, but is not guaranteed. And then you have Kentucky and Georgia, which are potential pickup opportunities. So that's where the math of it is, you know, is right now. But if they were to also take, you know, Colorado and Iowa, then you need two more seats, you know, and is that Kentucky and Georgia? Wouldn't you want to add South Dakota to the potentials where you could win,
right.
Particularly from our perspective, a very progressive populist in Weiland? I mean, it's a mess right now in the last month. It's pretty hard to tell. You know, it could go either way.
And before I want to just turn to Alaska, but before we do, in terms of Kentucky, Allison Grimes, what are the chances there in Kentucky?
I think they're still good. The Democratic turnout operation is there. There are a number of independent groups as well as the DSCC that's going to be turning up the heat. Bill Clinton is down there already advertising for her, and he's the last Democrat who won there and is still pretty popular there. But the big thing is that, you know, I don't like to believe in sort of things. In other words, I don't skew the polls like Republicans. There's no doubt that most of the public polls, with the exception of one or two, have shown McConnell with somewhere around a 4-point lead or something of that sort. So even if that turnout operation made up 2 or 3 points, she'd still lose in a close race. But her pollster, Mark Mailman, just did a poll, and he claimed she's up 2 points, and there are more undecideds there. Then normally you'd say, well, that's her internal pollster, so I'm not going to believe it, you know. But in his case, we have to give credit where credit is due. He was the one who was Harry Reid's pollster in 2010 when everybody was saying that Sharon Angle was going to win the race. And he was saying, no, Reid's going to win, and he was right. He also was Heidi Heitkamp's pollster in North Dakota when everybody, including, you know, Nate Silver, were saying, no, she's basically got no chance in the end. And she pulled out a victory. And he was the only one saying Heitkamp is going to win. So there's a record of this in the past, each cycle, with races that everybody but Mailman was on the other side, and Mailman was right.
Yeah, I mean, so, but the big key, I think, as you've been sort of hinting at or stressing a little bit, is the turnout. I mean, if you look at a lot of these polls, you see a pretty big disparity between registered voters which tend to favor the Democratic candidates, and then likely voters. And so that's what this is really going to come down to, right? It's just going to be whether or not in this environment the models that people have for what likely voters are going to be is correct. And
that's right. And
you've made this point, but it's worth repeating. There has been a tremendous amount of a shift in money, it seems to me. A lot of the outside spending has been in get out the vote efforts. And
right.
So, you know, there's one other point that we got to hit, of course. And this has been my and yours as well. Bailiwick, is that the right word I'm looking for?
I think that works.
I mean, I think I was on Hayes, and I remember it just because I got a lot of grief from a couple of people on Twitter saying in February, maybe it was March, you've got to push expanding Social Security. You've got to embrace something that is going to provide some points of contrast.
That's
that
right.
Can be adopted on a national scale.
It differentiates you in a populist way.
And and at the time I was saying it should be expansion of Social Security. And sure enough, Greg
Mark
Sargent.
Mark Begich has made that his cause in Alaska, and I'll say, very smartly. I mean, that could be the thing that wins it for him. I think, you know, what's kept crimes in Kentucky is making such a big deal of the minimum wage and putting that up versus how wealthy Mitch McConnell has gotten while he's been a politician. Those that have run on, have made a populist issue or two, like those two, you know, have led with those. It's hugely helpful, and frankly, that's why I think Weiland is in the position he's in South Dakota. And I'll also say, frankly, I think the Democrats had put more of an effort, hadn't written off Maine right away with Shenna Bellows, who's a terrific candidate, and had not just sort of assumed that Susan Collins had it locked up.
Right.
That maybe we'd be seeing a race there too, but. You know, it is what it is. So I still think it's wide open, you know, what can happen. But I still think, looking at everything, I like to look at all the different things going on, you know, the different moving parts and polls, and every once in a while say, you know, that I think one or two things are going to turn out a certain way, and more often than not, I'm right. So I'll take that chance. I think Grimes is still going to beat McConnell, and I think Udall's going to hold on in Colorado. I wish I felt as sanguine about Iowa.
So you're saying Grimes going to beat McConnell? This is big now. We're only 3 or 4 weeks away.
Lose by making that prediction is nothing.
Well, no. I mean, there's a lot of folks who listen to this program, dude. This is a big...
I know a lot of people listen to this, but I don't think they have any faith in me personally.
What was
so,
that?
You know, there's that.
Do you have your own soundboard there?
What?
No, we just heard some random sound that came out of our...
It wasn't me, man. It's the NSA.
I've never heard that sound ever in my life. Well, there you have it. So, Cliff, this is going to be fun. If Cliff, because I'll tell you something, if Grimes wins, you are the only person who called it. So I haven't heard anybody call it.
No, I know. It's kind of cool, isn't it? So I'm getting
Grimes
in there.
Grimes is
going to
take McConnell out. Mark me down. I apologize, Cliff.
Momentum. And I think we're going to hold on in Colorado.
Well, Michael make the prediction after you, so.
Okay, well, so Michael did it too. I do worry that we're going to end up with crazy person Joni Ernst as a senator from Iowa unless we do something drastic like right now. And then we would still be on the edge of losing, you know, because if Kansas didn't work out or whatever, you know, whatever else, we would still be on the edge of barely holding the Senate or losing it. So that's when, again, I hate to keep, you know, bringing this up, belaboring it, but South Dakota, because that's another place where I think we could pull out a shocker if they would put any amount of effort in, being that, you know, in these races, you know, we don't ever seem to do well there in the presidential races, but we've had a lot of senators and Congress persons from South Dakota and North Dakota. Most recently, again, Heidi Heitkamp winning, you know, so
let's we just got a couple of minutes. I want to touch on Chris Christie for a moment. There was two stories. I mean, one is a week or two ago, there was a report in the New York Post that was widely misinterpreted, it seems to me, that Chris Christie was exonerated in the Bridgegate scam. And all it basically said was, at this point, prosecutors had no evidence that he knew, had any foreknowledge of the Bridgegate closing. It didn't say anything about any knowledge he had after the fact. It didn't say anything about the other literally half dozen investigations and issues that they were being investigated. And so you were sort of like,
yeah, this guy's being looked at for all sorts of things. There's that Hoboken. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
And Hoboken, the Sandy money, the and one of the things that he's also being investigated, I think by two different agencies, is his reappropriation. And I think this is by the SEC. I'm not sure why the SEC would be doing it, but the Manhattan U.S. attorney for reappropriating funds that were earmarked for a tunnel project under the Hudson River. There was in the 2010 or 2009 Recovery Act, the stimulus, there right. was money set aside for a new tunnel to be built from New Jersey to New York to bring trains in. And it was called ARC, or the Access Regions Core. And it would have alleviated some of the strain from the only two existing tunnels that are both 100 years old. They're underneath the Hudson. They're single track for trains. They're stuffed. Right. They're stuffed chock-a-block during rush hour. Something like 400,000 people use those trains every day, and there was going to be an $8 to $10 billion. Let's call it $9 billion. The federal government was going to kick in for this ARC project. Construction started in 2009. They spent several hundred million dollars in, you know, right-of-ways and initial work and planning and whatnot. And then Christie canceled the plan, saying that New Jersey was going to be stuck with 70% of the bill. That was later debunked because a Government Accountability Office report showed they were getting, it was like 14%. And Christie took that money that was earmarked for that project that was already in New Jersey coffers, in the Port Authority coffers, and spent it on other stuff that are all tied into sort of these sweetheart deals for his cronies things. So flash forward to yesterday, Amtrak announces that over the next 3 or 4 years, they're going to have to close one or two or both of those tunnels at one time or another. In addition to a tunnel that services New Jersey trains anyways, that goes to the East River on the other side of Manhattan, apparently they store their trains there, because of damage from Sandy. And if they shut down one of these two tunnels coming from New Jersey, it is going to be apocalyptic in terms of...
You've ever read that, wrote on that before, you will know what this is if they shut those down.
If they shut down one of the tunnels, that means that the other tunnel is in only half use. I mean, it's not just you lose that tunnel. The first tunnel then, so it's basically you're cutting down the capacity down to 25% of what exists now. And
so it'd be like the bridge all over again.
Yeah, except for the bridge.
He gets to relive his greatest hits.
So, and then the question is, you know, does this happen before 2016, when, I mean, this would just, the economic impact of this would be huge.
I'm sorry. There's so many, I mean, this is a big one, but there's a lot of the stuff connected to Sandy. There's so much dirt on this guy. You know what I mean? I mean, the fact that people are scared of him, like, I'd love for him to be their nominee. I mean, he can try his tough guy thing all he wants. There's so many deals like this. Like the opposition researchers would get so wealthy. They'd be like, you know, give us a year to look into everything on this guy. That's amazing, though. So yeah, they declared him, you know, fit to run again. And of course, you know, this pops up, and more of this stuff will. He's still the same corrupt guy he was before.
Well, Cliff, on that note, as always, a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Sam. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you. We'll talk earlier week. I'll see if we can do this when I'm in Vegas.
Sounds great, man.
All right. Thanks. I'll talk to you later. All right, folks. You know what? Let's play the Jimmy Reefer Cake song now, and then we will hopefully bring in film guy Matthew. I don't know if he's waiting out in the hallway or what we call our green room. My guess is listening to the show on the app, I hope. What song do we have from Jimmy Reefer Cake?
It's called Felt by Us All.
Felt by Us All. I don't know what that means, but all right. Let's hear it.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. According to the Bible, that's the truth. The New Testament is even more forgiving. It says turn the other cheek. That's the way we should be living. When a man beats a woman or a woman beats a child, they don't get prosecuted if no charges are filed. And when Israel bombs the innocents once again, why do we support them? Are they really a good friend? Their so-called Jewish state has only fueled the hate. A hate so great, cut off their funds. It's not too late. But the hypocrisy is like yeast, and this is in full bloom. The sulfur from the beast is stinking up the room. You can understand the evil. You don't need to believe in God. Whether domestic violence or shooting bombs abroad, violence is everywhere. Keep your eye on the ball. What is done to one of us is felt by us all.
All right, Jim and Reefer Cake. I like the the broader sentiment that violence is bad is appropriate. Dance around a little. Oh, look who's here.
Hello.
It's film guy Matthew.
Oh, hello, Matthew. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
You got talking to the mic, buddy.
Hello.
Well, I need to fix the camera now.
All right. So
give me a second.
We will fix the camera. Film guy Matthew. Oh, wait a second. Maybe you should play his thing.
All right, I'll play his
Let's play his
I got a little.
You got a cold?
No.
Matthew, the film guy, is choosing your streams. Cassavetes on Netflix and other such themes. Maybe you'll watch one and learn a few things. Please recommend me a movie to stream. Matthew,
I can't hear you. I'm
please recommend
out.
Me a movie to stream. Matthew, film guy.
There it is. Matthew, film guy.
Hi, Sam.
And I should tell you, I mean, obviously, if you... Yes, please.
I want to get Isabel Gilley's distance, whatever that is.
I noticed that Matthew, film guy, and if people are watching on the YouTube, that Matthew, you're actually mouthing the words to your own theme song. You really...
I love that song.
Did you write that?
No. My friend Jason Pace of the great band The Talls and other musical enterprises wrote that.
So, Matthew, here's the burning question that I think a lot of people want answered.
I know.
I know that you were... What is it?
Just...
Well, no, I'm curious as to what you think the question is.
Let me just make the first letter of the topic.
M?
Yeah. All right.
Wait, what is that? What do you mean?
Go on.
No, you tell me.
I just thought this conversation was get railroaded into Mark Maron somehow immediately.
Oh, no,
okay,
not
good.
At all.
Okay, good.
Why? Good. What's up with Marin?
Well, no, he got a third season, so I know you're chomping at the bit.
Well, you know, this is, I'll tell you something. Now that you brought it up, I mean, we can talk about something else, which
What's
I was going to ask you.
Burning question?
Well,
okay.
We'll get to the burning question.
Okay.
Not Let it burn burning. A little bit more. But I will say this, that since he got that show, won't respond to tweets, won't respond to...
You mean since he got the third season?
Third season.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's my experience as well.
Classic Marin.
Yeah. Wow.
Classic Marin. He feels his oats, and then you only hear from him when he thinks that his show is not going to get picked up.
Yeah.
Classic.
It's all right.
All right, so here's what the burning question is. Of course, now, people know that you edited Teacher's Lounge.
And directed.
But
maybe they only think I...
Well, I think people thought that you only edited it because, you know, people perceive directors as having some say into casting. And apparently, according to you, you had no say in casting.
That is true.
Because
that is true.
With all those people who are in that show, you couldn't find any space to squeeze me in. Because it's not like...
It was, you know, to be honest, it was a co-directing, you know, Hollis and
Oh, now Ted. It's a co-directing.
I mean, they were...
Now
mostly talking about the actors, and you know, I had a say in that stuff, but they were the executive producers as the actors, so they had a lot.
Well,
of
no, I think it would be hard for people to believe me in a pedagogical role.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't, but some
right.
people.
All right,
I definitely was channeling a lot of the things that I saw and picked up from you as a comedy director while I was working. So,
oh, great!
So as I've said before,
well,
you were
I'm
there
glad
in
I could
spirit.
Have helped out. Yeah, on the project. In any way that I could without actually getting any of the fun or the benefit from it.
My sentiments exactly.
Right. So, which raises the question, what are you doing now, Matthew?
What am I doing now, Sam? Well, Teacher's Lounge took over my entire summer, so I had no time to... take in movies.
Well, you probably had to spend a lot of time in helping out some of the actors who weren't necessarily full par.
I really didn't. But now
I was on Spin City. I don't know if you heard.
I saw that episode. I did.
Well, there was two episodes, I think.
Oh,
but
really?
Go ahead.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. what am I up to
I
now?
It was Jim Burrows, the director of that. I can't really remember, but what does he know?
A lot
about directing comedy.
He's an institution.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying, he must have made a mistake in casting.
I wouldn't even call him Jim. If you can call him Jim, that's
Jimmy.
So anyway, Sam, what am I up to now? I'm taking in a lot of movies actually lately, and I've had the opportunity.
Sounds like you're not
to slow
working.
Down,
right?
Yeah, no. I've taken a couple weeks off. I've done a couple small projects here and there, but my mm-hmm. teaching is about to start back up again. You know, I'm teaching editing at Sacred Heart University, and I'm doing the Senior Citizens Film Appreciation class at the Forest Hills JCC. That is a huge part of my life right now. And but I've actually been...
It sounds like a joke.
I know. That's why I hit it so hard.
Now,
it's
do
not
you get,
a joke. It's
now,
fun.
What happens? Like, is this an advanced class, or is it a whole new set of
advanced
of folks?
In years? But you know,
no. But I'm saying, is it a whole new set of folks, or is it like?
No, I think I have a lot of repeaters. Yeah, a lot of people who like it's like a become like a sitcom, basically waiting to happen. The same kind of group of characters show up.
So
each
now,
semester.
So now you have. Do you have to get like? Do you have to make this a sort of an advanced class, or can you sort of get away with, I mean, do you keep it on survey grounds, or is it as soon as you come in there, you're expected to have a certain fluency in film? And
no,
if you don't,
no. Survey grounds for sure. But I do try to present some more difficult films, and I do have a few students who are clamoring for that. A few, like this one guy is just like, I don't get it. Like every week, I don't get it. I just, you know, he wants me to do like a superhero survey, you know, film. So there's a wide range of people that mm-hmm. I cater to, but they're there for the, you know, the conversation, the camaraderie, the using parts of their brain that they don't really get to use. And actually, that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about.
I don't know what you're saying there. I mean, I certainly could use a little more camaraderie, apparently. But
on the one hand.
Can I ask a question, though? I picture these really nice old Jewish ladies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just being like, oh,
they're all my grandmother.
Smart,
yeah.
Matthew.
Yeah.
I didn't understand. But so clever. But why do these all these movies have to be so upsetting? Though, like, she put on a black shirt and then she stabbed him. I didn't think I understood why she was upset.
Right, those women are there. Those women are there. But there's also the, like,
Matthew, are you married? Just if you don't mind me asking.
Yeah.
My granddaughter is coming in from Ohio, and I just wanted to know if you were married.
She's nice. Do you think that you would think differently?
I noticed you're not wearing your ring on your finger.
You had a family. You might have a more optimistic worldview.
You know I did a good class.
I hope you're not living with a woman without a ring on your finger.
You know, they're much more cosmopolitan than that. There's a few that fit that classic mold, but there are
have you ever thought about having an affair, Matthew?
You certainly watch enough films about it. Maybe you should try it in real life.
Your interest in French cinema suggests to me that perhaps you're open to an affair with my granddaughter, who's in only for 3 weeks and just needs someone to show her around town.
You know, I brought Mary to a few classes so they know what the story is. So that, that at least that. But, you know, I get
some of
that. I
see still involved with
Last Tango
with Mary
Queen sort of thing. How about that?
That's an interesting surname, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Anything else?
Go ahead.
That was good. That
Jesus
was, good.
Was a nice man, and but he scene. Said nothing new. All right, I'm done.
And scene. But in terms of what you do here, Sam, this is what I'm thinking of these days, is these senior citizens go to this class to sort of use a part of their brain that even most people in their normal day, even when they're in their working life, didn't really use, that sort of world, greater worldview, artistic, you might say, appreciation of the world. And with the work you do, like, I just listen to this show every day, and I know how overwhelming it can be making that part of my brain, you know, the taking that much time to be analytical, to be sort of detail oriented, to be judgmental in a good way, you know, to weigh things.
Well, I'm judgmental in a bad way too. But I save that for around the office.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, do you get the time? Because I'm appreciating
that's destroying morale.
Right.
Apply the other stuff to the content.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, since I've stopped working, for 3 months, I was basically didn't leave the edit room. And now I'm going to see these movies at the Museum of the Moving Image by this Taiwanese director named Hu Hsiao-hsien. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
No.
No? They are extremely demanding movies. They're amazing. They're slow in a way. They're elliptical. You kind of really have to sit forward and try to grasp what's happening to even sort of follow them, and they really are amazing. They're like a breath of fresh air after putting up so much effort on the sort of left brain side. Even if it's a creative effort, you're sort of putting that out a lot. So what do you have? I know the kind of movies I recommend to you. You want like action movies and things like that, but do you take time to be contemplative or to be to let things soak in?
You're joking, right?
I mean, I guess I could have thought the answer was no, but
you know, I'll tell you something. Milo wanted me to tell her a story last night. It doesn't happen that often anymore. Obviously, I used to tell her stories all the time, and I sat there and I'm like, I can't even think of a story. Like, I can't even make up a story. I used to be able to make up a story, but like my brain capacity now is just, it's either just incredibly literal,
right,
or
literal,
it's totally pragmatic because I've got to deal with, like, you know.
Yeah, I don't even have a family, so that kind of stuff.
I really do. That is my biggest lament, I got to say.
Having kids.
Well, yeah, no, that's, I would say the kids, not so much the kids per se, but the biggest lament is what it has done to my life. And then, you know, the kids, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, right. They're just sort of a baggage.
They're around. I mean, like, you know, I'm getting Mila to the point where she'll like actually do like a decent amount of the cleaning around the house, and so that's a positive.
Wow.
And you know, and I'm Saul seems like he's inclined to listen to what I say, so that's going to be helpful. Basically, I've got two. You know, I want to have two little tiny workers at home.
But do you worry that you're?
Yes.
Your brain is stuck in a rut. You're
definitely
only using this one slice,
always,
however developed it is, to do this kind of work. But the political, sort of pragmatic,
yes,
that kind of. Well, so maybe you should see some of these movies.
I should go to the
Museum of the
Moving Image.
Absolutely.
To watch
Hu Hsiao-hsien.
Yes. Okay. You going to babysit for my kids?
I would. Yeah.
Ooh.
Mary and I would do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. For free?
You know, reasonable.
What is reasonable for you?
No, I would. We would
That's
do it for
problem.
Free. We would
you
do
go
it for
to
free.
A movie, and it's an. It is literally. If Nikki and I go to a movie,
yeah, it's like 60
and
bucks.
I'm not telling anybody who doesn't have kids. $60
just for the two people to go and get a snack. That's Wait, what I know. Just for two
60
people,
$60.
Yeah,
I don't know where you what how long of a movie are we talking about?
What do you mean 2-hour movie? Oh, you're talking
you
including the babysitter and everything.
Oh
sure.
Yeah,
let me hear it.
Well, $60 to go to a movie. Is it really $60 to go to a movie?
Yeah, by the time I buy two tickets to like, you know, I go to the RPX or the IMAX, you know, one of the bigger tickets, you get like a popcorn and a soda. Yeah, basically for two people.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't even know I wasn't going to even buy a soda. I was just going to bring my own bottle of water.
It's very good, Sam.
But you can't get a babysitter for 3 hours less than $45-$50.
Yeah.
No way. So now we're $110 to go see a movie?
Yeah.
And then...
And see, this is just a good
what
example.
If I'm hungry?
I'm trying to have a conversation about sort of artistic pursuits and the ability to expand your brain, and it turns into how much it costs to go out to see a movie. One is, you know, necessary for the other, but it just made me realize, even in my own life, how I have to fight to carve out that kind of time. You know, didn't get to read books, didn't get to see movies beyond something that was just sort of turned off my mind for 3 months. And how important that is, especially, you know, if you're, you know, I love the show and I love what you do, but data without sort of perspective or without kind of, I don't know what else you want to call it, without sort of...
Come in here to knock the show?
No, no. I'm trying to say, like, we need one with the other. And I've always wanted this movie segment to be the sort of, to take film and watching film as seriously as you take politics and world events, you know, to not just as a... brain turner offer, which I enjoy plenty as well, but to have that be a necessary counterbalance. Am I?
Wow.
Am I
Boy,
going off track here?
A little downer, man. Let's
no,
talk
no, it's
about
not
Marin.
A downer because these things are important and awesome. All right.
No, come on, don't get so. Yeah.
Did you see Ishtar, by the way?
No, I didn't. You keep meaning to, but you know what? But here's the problem.
Yeah.
Nikki and I started watching The Killing.
Of the show, yeah.
Yeah.
I started watching it based on your recommendation. I'm hooked.
Yeah.
I'm only
We
like...
have one more episode to go. We're watching the final episode.
Of all the seasons.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but I'm not that into it yet. I'm almost done with
now,
the first
here's
season.
What I don't understand. I thought it was an AMC show.
No, it's strictly
a Netflix.
Netflix, yeah.
I'm sorry, were you talking to me?
Didn't you see aren't you
no,
a fan?
No, I didn't.
You have to watch it.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different. I'm thinking of somebody there,
really
different
good.
Matthew film guy.
Oh
thinking
yeah.
Of the other.
I have plenty of great episodic television in my life, but that one is not one of them.
Well, so but that's the thing is that like you know, the reason why we watch a show like that is it's 45 minutes.
Right.
That's the only time that we have like 45 minutes a night where we're like, because by the time I get home. We got to, you know, juggle the kids, put the kids to bed, do the homework,
yep.
Give the kid a bath.
Yeah. And you're reading books and articles and prep for the show.
Yeah,
like,
I
that blows
prep
my
for
mind.
The show, and then
do.
I got to spend an hour or two on the computer pulling stories.
Pulling what?
Or, you know, looking for stories.
Oh, okay.
What? Matthew.
Sorry.
And
spend an hour on the
so
computer pulling
I don't
things.
Have the time to, so 45 minutes is basically it. We don't have time to watch a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, I know. And that's I'm lamenting that fact. And
then Milo's like, let's have movie night on Saturday night, which would be the only other night that we could watch a movie.
So you're watching
Frozen
again.
I'm not going to watch Ishtar with her.
I saw an incredible movie last night.
What was it? Was it Ghostbusters 3? Because that's what Milo wants to watch.
There's a third Ghostbusters?
There's no Ghostbusters 3.
I think there is.
No, there's not.
I heard it was coming
out
with women.
That's the one that they're working on.
Oh, that's the one that she's talking about. Okay.
Oh. Yeah, what did you see, Michael? Let's hear it.
I saw Time is Illmatic,
a documentary
about Illmatic, which is like the best rap album ever made. It was at AMC. It was incredible.
It was at IFC, right?
We actually saw it at an AMC theater, but it was just an incredible.
Did
I
it
was really
teach you
scared.
Anything you didn't know about the album?
It's nothing that I didn't know, but it filled in a lot of context really, really well. And I was surprised because making a movie like that is actually really difficult. I didn't expect them to really be able to pull it off as well as they did.
A movie like what, Michael?
Well, you're taking an album that, and it's interesting
like
the way it's
an
happened.
Album.
What?
kind of like a love letter to an album.
Well, and they went with, like, instead of the success of it or how it stood the test of time, they kind of went from, like, how did a 19-year-old kid make this album? Like, mm-hmm. what was that thought process? What was mm-hmm. the context? Which was a more interesting way of looking at it. And then the other thing is that Nas is this incredible lyricist, but he's really, like, clearly not into most interviews he does. He isn't mm-hmm. necessarily, like, he's fine, but it's just not his mm-hmm. preferred format.
I saw him on that Bill Maher, and that was pretty apparent.
Yeah, like, with Bill Maher, he's okay, but right. he's not, like, thrilled to be talking, yeah. you know, in that format. So I was wondering how they would navigate that with the movie, and they clearly got him really comfortable, and they just did it perfectly. And then the one thing they filled in is on the album, I remember the packaging of it, right? Like, in the CD, and you pull it out, and it was just basically photos of him hanging out in Queensbridge, and his brother did a rundown of all the other guys that were in this album picture. Mm. And it's like Nas, who, you know, at this point, like, not only like a rap superstar, but like a fellow at Harvard and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And every other person in that photo, including like 8-year-old kids, this guy's in jail. Mm-hmm. This guy just got out of prison. Mm-hmm. This guy's dead. This guy, I mean, it was, They just brought it together really well, and actually the way they filmed it really reflected the album. So I recommend it really highly. I was surprised. I mean,
well,
I knew
as
I'd
saw
like
it came out. I emailed you and I said
you were not the only one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then this friend
anyone
actually
who knows you
bought me a ticket and said, you know, leave October 2nd open. But I knew I'd like it.
That's
just because I'm such a fan. But I, you know,
it's always
but
great to hear these stories about how guys go out and you have not a little culture.
Yeah.
And then blah.
Is it really just the babysitter standing in the way of you doing that?
No, it's babysitter and work and et cetera. I mean, it is just not that easy.
No.
I mean, Mile and I went to a movie last Sunday. We saw Dolphin Tale 2.
Oh, yeah. I want to see that. I enjoyed the first one.
Had a good message.
Do you watch anime, Matthew?
You know, not as a rule. I'm not like a huge fan.
No,
I'm not against it. But.
Neither am I. Okay. But I recently started watching this really good series called Attack on Titan.
Hmm.
It's very good.
Hey, this is great.
The Moon of Saturn?
But let's get a little focused here. So,
yeah,
what is the film that you're recommending?
Actually, it's
the
not
the people should, everybody in the whole country who listens to the show should go to the Museum of Moving Image and
no.
see.
That's not what I have to recommend. All I have right. one that's in everybody's reach. It's on Fandor, which is that great website. You can get a free trial and watch this movie for free to start.
Use the coupon code Matthew.
No, there's no promo going on here. There's no promo going on here.
I'm just wondering, like, what's going on here? Fandor.
Does Jim Norton have any money in that?
By the way, do you guys have your wills filled out? You guys... LegalZoom? Sorry.
that was bad.
Yeah. No, actually, one of the best movies that I saw last year at a film festival now finally got a release. It played a week here in New York, but it is available on iTunes and a lot of the other streaming places. And I think I may have mentioned it last year, called Hellaware.
What's it called?
Hellaware.
Hellaware?
Hellaware.
Is it a Halloween movie?
No, it's about a – it's kind of a droll sort of satire on a hipster photographer in Bushwick who decides he sees this internet video of these kids in Delaware who are sort of an insane clown posse kind of analog called Young Torture Killers, and he thinks this is – doing a sort of ethnographic sort of photo study on them is going to catapult him into the heights of the art world. And it is a hilarious satire on art, on pretension, on hipsters, on insane clown posse kids, and it I can't recommend it any more highly. It is hilarious. It's short.
All right, how do I do it?
Hellaware.
And
directed by a guy named Michael Belandich. He's made two movies, and this one is amazing. It's got a friend of mine is in it, Sophia Takal, but it was one of my favorite movies of last year. And you've got to see it. Trust me, it is not. It's hilarious, and it's.
It is not hilarious.
No, it's not bad.
Okay, it's not bad. Trust me, it's not bad.
You're not kidding.
That is the highest endorsement I can give it. Trust me.
I don't think I have ever had. You've ever had a bad recommendation that I have followed. Let me
right.
put it that way. I haven't. I don't always.
That's
have
a subset of a subset, but yeah. Because you haven't seen a lot of the movies I recommended, unfortunately.
Well,
but they are all good too.
But you've never steered me wrong.
Thank you.
To the extent that I actually followed down where you steered me.
Well, I try to consider my audience and not suggest movies that I don't think you'll like. I do think you would like Ishtar. I know a lot of people bashed it.
No, I got a lot of people who wrote in actually afterwards and said, Ishtar, I got to put that on the list too.
Yeah.
What I need to do is I need to take like 6 months and just catch up on...
well, that's what I'm saying. Mary and I can't babysit for six months. But we
can't take 6 months off the show. I can't do that.
I don't know.
It's not going to happen.
Mike and Matt.
Matt and Mike.
April.
Yeah, mid-year.
Mid-year. There you go.
Matt and Mike months.
I mean, Sam Cedar is watching movies and recovering his humanity.
Yeah, we're reconnecting at the helm. To the sort of oneness of the world.
Yeah.
And did you know, all right, so let me move to the IMs. I just saw an IM. Sarah Silverman's hosting SNL tomorrow.
Yeah, I heard of that.
Tomorrow night.
Things are really taking off for her. She won an Emmy. The last two months.
She won an Emmy. I saw her after that.
I mean, I've always thought of her
as
successful.
It was a little bit embarrassing because...
She didn't mention you in the speech?
That was embarrassing. no. What was embarrassing was that I found out because someone IM'd me like, hey, Sarah Silverman won an Emmy. And I was like, what? I didn't even realize she was nominated. So I had to sort of, you know...
Did you see that show in the small theater? I thought that was a great idea.
The stand-up show?
Yeah.
Is that what she won the Emmy for?
Yeah. We're All Molecules.
I didn't see it.
I wanted to watch it just because, you know, I did Ted Alexandro's stand-up hour also in a small room. It was the Creek in the Cave, and we wanted to see, like, how they did it, but they had, you know, millions of dollars to do that.
Spend a lot more money.
Booms and cranes and things that we just didn't do.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. All right. I guess it's a freebie Friday, right? I mean, who are we kidding? Let's go. The number is 646-257-3920. Film guy Matthew will hang in with me for the rest of the show, but we should probably get to some sound. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I like this. I like film guy Matthew getting in on the sound action.
Cool.
All right. Yeah. Well, good. I'll check that off the things for me to accomplish today. Make Michael happy about that. Well, what do you mean? You haven't gone through it yet.
Are you anticipating a reaction?
Go easy, buddy.
Is it going to be a Scotty B?
Exactly.
We're not going to do Scotty B yet.
Okay.
We're not going to.
What about the Benningtons?
I really hope.
No, we're going to do the Benningtons. Do you watch any? Here's the thing. When I watch television now, all I watch is either generally just Hayes, maybe a little bit of Matta, and then anything else is like DYI.
Yeah.
I love those shows where like a guy comes in is just like, I can't believe a contractor did this.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe this guy. What was this guy thinking where he ties in the waistline of the toilet into this sump pump? What's going on here? We're going to have to lift this whole floor to find out what's going on.
House porn. I love those shows.
I love it when they come in and they get very indignant, like, this isn't the code. That's not the code. This contractor should look at themselves in the mirror.
I love that about you.
What's that for me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't feel guilty about it at all.
You're adding to your skill set.
I used to be Holmes on Holmes, the guy from Canada. He used to be my but there's now a lot of shows that will do that same sort of like, I can't believe it. I cannot believe that they're tying this line in here. Why would they do that? And then they look it up and like, oh, my God. I've never seen anything like this. This is brown water. You know what brown water is? You know what gray water is?
I don't think it's good.
Gray water is the water that comes from like your sinks or your shower, or your bathtub. Brown water comes from your toilet.
Poop.
There's a reason why they call it brown water.
Right.
And this guy, and you wonder like, you know, just, I don't want to get into it. It really upsets me. Anyway.
Well, maybe that's your next phase of your career is... To do a show like that. I'd love to do a show like that.
I'd do a show like that in a heartbeat. I mean, but the problem is I don't have the expertise. We can I don't fake have it. The expertise.
Maybe it's like a parody. Maybe it's you know.
Maybe you're the one who does all those wrong things.
Yeah, there you go.
It would be sort of like one of those shows like The Incredible Hulk, you know, like Bill
Lou Ferrigno.
Well, but the Hulk is sort of running through America, and there's like a
someone
there's
has to like clean
a,
up.
Some reporter behind him.
Yeah.
Well, we could do a show just like where I'm a really bad contractor
cleaning up after the Hulk,
and then there's like a good contractor who's like chasing me see. Down. Like I'm gonna find this guy. Where will he strike next?
Mr. McGee.
I got a subscription to Handyman Magazine, and I will undercut the competition.
That's actually not too different from Ross Broccoli's movie, which I think it was not
the fish one?
Not Carpula.
Stuck Truck?
Stuck Truck.
How do
Stuck
I know
Truck,
that?
There was a couple of different, but I played a, I think an official from Treasury or maybe the Department of Justice. I can't remember exactly where it was. Who was chasing after, and he did this years ago. It was actually very smart in the run-up, anticipating sort of like the
didn't he
the
shoot
real
it on
estate
VHS
boom.
Or something?
It was they sent me to chase a guy in the Midwest who was going and building houses on other people's property. You know, they buy a couple acres
right.
in the middle of nowhere in Nebraska, and you know, you never go by and check on the property, and then the owner shows up, and there's a. There's a half-built house there because this guy that I was supposedly chasing would go in, hire contractors, they'd build the foundation, they'd get some subcontractors out there or whatever it was, and the guy had gotten a building loan to start the construction from the bank. The bank didn't care because they were just handing out loans. And then at one point he runs out of money, and there's a half-built house there. And the problem is no one cared because the owner comes in. They're like, I'm just going to finish this house. I got a half built house here. The bank
Whatever
is,
happened to that?
The bank is psyched because, all right, we're going to ultimately get,
you know what else?
The guy's going to flip the house and make money. And everybody was just making money, even though this guy was taking out fraudulent loans. And so,
you know what you just reminded me of? I've also been watching a lot of Alan Partridge. You like Steve Coogan's Alan Partridge character?
Oh, right.
He has a web series called Mid-Morning Matters.
Somebody was telling me about that. I think Janine.
And then there was a feature that came off of that Alpha Papa. Both hilarious, laughing till I almost couldn't breathe.
All right. Well, the reason why I bring this up is because apparently there is there was a show on HGTV. I think it's like a house and garden TV or something, but it was a lot of real estate stuff. Mm-hmm. And these two guys, David and Jason Benham, had a real estate flipping show. And they were at, this was at the Value Voters Summit, right?
Oh, sweet.
And they were explaining, apparently, because they claim that they lost their show because just because of their anti-gay and anti-Muslim activism.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah, that's it. Which every network wants to be associated with.
It's freedom of speech.
Right. And here they are talking about how oppressed they are.
Went to a cross, and he's asking you to come follow him. And we got that experience in real life. When we got fired in front of a watching world, Jesus Christ gave us a picture of what that looked like. There is a radical agenda that has come in our nation. And I wrote a tweet, and I'm going to tweet this as soon as I get off the stage, and hopefully many of you will retweet this. The weapon of choice for the agenda in the Middle East is a sword, but the weapon of choice for the agenda in America is silence. They demand silence. It's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's another to be vocal about Jesus and his standards and his word. And we weren't pushing our religion or our beliefs on anyone else, but we were living them out loud just as Christ did, and it led him to a cross and got him crucified. We are watching it over in the Middle East right now. ISIS is filled with rage. They are empowered by a demonic, bloodthirsty spirit that needs to be confronted and dealt with, not tiptoed around the tulips. Love looks like something. Love lays its life down. Love, in the love of a father, would not run from bullets when your family is taking bullets. Love runs and steps in front of those bullets. That's what love looks like. And it's time that God's spiritual leaders see that the plot of Haman to silence the beliefs of Christians in this nation. Thank God it's not through a sword. It's just in the form of silence.
So there you have it. These two guys complaining that they lost their show on HGTV. I wonder why.
Did he blame Haman, like from Purim?
I have no idea. But,
did you hear that?
I think it's time for a bigger reality show for these guys. Oh, incidentally, I'm sure they're headed over to the western part of Iraq.
Yes.
Northwestern part of Iraq.
They're being deployed with a Peshmerga unit right,
right
now.
Right, right.
Yeah, flip
let's
this
put, let's put your money where your mouth is. Or your.
I can picture an ISIS fighter watching that and being like, really?
Seriously?
That's
can't believe they
even
put the
for
water
us
line
that's
in.
A little offensive.
I'm a little bit bummed. I actually enjoyed their flipping show. Yeah, what are you gonna do? All right. Speaking
Jesus.
Of which,
what you do is you behead someone and then you watch the flipping show.
So, folks, as you know, Scott Brown has moved from Massachusetts to New Hampshire to make another swing at the pitch. As it were.
Go Sox.
No longer senator of Massachusetts. Maybe I can do it in New Hampshire. It's just that I'm getting befuddled by all these, girl issues. Here he is explaining that no one really cares about things like contraception and getting fair pay if they're girls.
All right, so you've been talking about the contest for the Senate seat in New Hampshire. Your opponent, Senator Jeanine Shaheen, she recently issued this statement about your record on women's issues. Quote, he doesn't stand up for women's reproductive rights and economic security. He co-sponsored legislation to let employers deny women coverage for birth control or even mammograms. He had two opportunities to vote for equal pay laws, and both times he voted no. So, Senator, how do you respond to her claims?
Well, unfortunately, I'm talking about issues that people care about. And while these women's issues are very important, I'm an independent pro-choice Republican. I always have been. And I do support contraception. I do support fair pay for women. Obviously, I do. But I also will vote against a bad bill, as Senator Ayotte did on the paycheck fairness issues she's referring to. And while I'm talking about immigration, border security, veterans issues, where we stand when it comes to Obamacare and the devastating effects of that, of which she supported, I'm focusing on the things that people are caring about, and those issues are affecting women and women-owned businesses and the rights of women. So I think it's a false premise, and I'm not surprised she's trying to smear my record, scare women into thinking that things are not as they seem, and it's unfortunately, it's sad, but I get it.
All right. Senator Scott Brown on many topics today. Thank you, sir. See you soon.
You know, the problem
wow.
is...
Just wow.
I'm focused on issues that people care about. And, you know, women just ain't like, they're not like people.
What was confusing to me was I thought that, like, Jeanine Shaheen could, like, maybe she was, like, past the point of getting, periods, if you know what I'm saying. And it sounded very menstrual to me, frankly, that whole column you just played.
Yeah, she...
But seriously, like, I'm focused on important issues like the border. That's big. There's some buddies of mine who got this, like, really cool realty company in Florida. And they're saying that, like, if we could lift some cap on some, like, tax-deductible income or whatever, that'll create, like, 40 million new jobs in, like, a second. Obama doesn't want it because, you know, he's a little bit more on the socialist side, which, like... My buddy Ron in college was, but he was smoking a lot of friggin' like weed out of a can at that point. But I feel like at a certain point, you got to grow out of it. Actually, you know, he needed to split an abortion with a girl once. So it's weird that you mentioned that. So in that sense, I am pro-choice because like mistakes do happen. But like, look, I was like, don't split it. Be like, I'll pay for the gas to get you there. But you're the one who got pregnant, like literally, because I'm not going to get pregnant, Gretchen. I just mean like biology. So that's what this race is about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, I'm just setting up my run for Maine.
It's going
what up. I really want to do is I want to be senator for Maine.
Maine's actually a little freaking weird, though. Like, I got to admit, like, there's
but
some
down
type
there's,
of, like,
they got sweet beaches.
They got
so
sweet beaches in the
go
summer
to Old
for like
Orchard
3 weeks.
They got the, you know, the Ferris wheel there, and they got the boardwalk. You can go. It's better than the Hamps. So...
One time I threw up on a girl in Maine. And I have to say, as contrasted with Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and one time a trip that my buddy and I took to Florida, the girl in Maine sort of took it the best in the sense that she didn't seem that surprised by it, which for me was like, that's cool, but Maine's a little frickin' weird.
Yeah.
I thought the border issue he was interested in is where you can buy the...
Yeah, we got to deal with the border issue because... We need to have a safety zone so that if you're going to get a packy run from Massachusetts into New Hampshire, that you can't get guys. Because you don't want all those guys from Laurel coming up here and trying to buy all the booze. Because the problem is there's a big run on Sundays. And some of the places, they won't keep all the Bud Lights you want in there. So then the guys from Laurel, they'll come up first thing on a Sunday morning. By the time you get there, the only thing you're going to get is like one of those Michelob Ultras, which is good, but it's not a weekend beer. That's more of a beer that you drink like on a Wednesday or a Thursday when you've hit your carb limits, and so you want to cut back. That's when you do the Ultra. So it totally screws up my whole,
So as you could see, Gretchen, I'm focusing on the issues that people care about in New Hampshire, while Gene Jeheen's just, like, being negative and stuff. You know, also, I would not mess with dudes from Lowell. Like, honestly, like, those dudes are crazy.
Notice, Gene Jeheen has never said anything about what is the number one cruising car in New Hampshire, right? Because we got it established in Massachusetts. But New Hampshire, she's been senator now for multiple years and has yet to even put one resolution as to what the number one cruising car in New Hampshire would be. So that's on my list. I got the beer thing. I got the border thing about the girls complaining about the vomit. let's go to the IM.
You know, I think at one of my realty scheme places or whatever that I or you know hedge funds or whatever I was working at, I think the girls got equal pay.
Seems to me that every time I run for senator, I get another gig where I just got to sit on a board and hope that they don't get indicted.
And I remember,
and
I was
then
like,
I get paid.
I was like at the board meeting, I was like, guys, like not to be like a girl about this, but like just to be clear, this isn't like like illegal or whatever. And they were like, no. And I was like, cool, great,
all right.
Meeting adjourned.
Due diligence done. Due diligence. Check that box.
I'm just surprised to learn that he cares.
They must
about
have
his
some
card
money.
Count.
I mean, my check cleared.
That's right. What's so suspicious about going from being a potato chip manufacturer, packager, to an arms supplier? I don't see the big deal. The check cashed. Boy. All right, Carl Sagan.
Nothing.
Friday.
Nothing makes me tune out than more than when
if you don't stop them, they'll
Sam
just keep going
and Michael,
all day.
Yeah, they just go oh, all day. Man.
I think it's time we bring in here a... An aluminum bat, maybe.
Yeah,
and explain to Matt like what's so amusing about what we're doing. Carl Sagan, 04.
So because you can't do the impression because you sound like you were conceived in the Queen subway system, all of a sudden we can't do that comedy routine anymore, dude?
Oh, excuse me.
Excuse us.
You've got a huge complaint with what we're doing, right? Carl Sagan, 04. Friday movie recommendation, Particle Fever on Netflix about the discovery of the God particle. Milton Apathy, I'm sorry, man. This guy, Panetta, is an effing tool, just like Gates. Yeah, Panetta has now come out and like, we should have done something different with ISIS.
I like your Panetta.
Dead on.
What can I do that's going to sell a book? Milton Apathy, what does Matthew think about the strain? It was great at first, and then episode 2 weeks ago... Kind of disappointed.
I got turned off of it by some of the reviews I read. I didn't want to invest in it. Things like what you just said.
I watched the first few episodes and then I sort of just disappeared. Like
two shows that I thought I would like is The Strain and Extant, and I just read so many bad reviews.
What's that second one?
Extant.
I don't even know.
Yeah, just sci-fi dramas.
You know
that
what
I
abandoned was The Continuum. I was just like kept waiting. That show.
It peaks somewhere on the end of the second season when they start to have multiple.
I didn't even make it.
Yeah,
I'm watching Gotham. That's pretty good so far.
Boardwalk Empire. That's it.
Yeah,
all I can do right now.
I'm on that. Gotham. I just had flashbacks of Smallville. Like that show just lost me completely.
It's not. Yeah? Try it out.
Young Batman.
In the Sticks. Oh, my God. Just broke out. Full laugh. Obama, Ebola, let the MFer burn. Yeah. MR fan, sorry for the wait. Spent the last 3 days getting a cap, gown, and ring. Some Republican called me a communist and threatened to report me as one for not liking his treasonous art. That's why we get unite together. We must keep the Senate and regain the House. Wow, Chris Christie's a jerk. I hope he's not pulling Larry Hogan's strings. Nathan Ray. Hi, guys. Nathan from Manchester, UK. Just became a member. Shofar. Oh, get that. I got to try and see if I can.
You need like all three.
Yeah, I should have all three going. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Nathan Ray. Much appreciated. Also, for everybody, happy Yom Kippur, or Yom Tov, good Yom Tov.
It's not exactly happy.
Well, have a easy fast, as we say. No in Chicago. Did that Toronto lady, what?
That's still going on?
Yeah.
That's still going on.
Starting tomorrow.
That was Rosh Hashanah.
Tentaro.
Oh, Yom Kippur. Oh.
Yeah, they go together.
Did that
kind of a Jew are you?
I'm half,
not a Jew.
What did that Tentaro lady say? The Ebola patient exposed himself to children? He should definitely register as a sex offender, too.
That's good.
Charlie, Halloween is 4 weeks away. Hint, hint. Can't wait to catch up with the deuce. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We've got to start thinking about that.
Got to drop the deuce.
Remember to take IMs before.
I know what them.
Reverting back. While you're at it, how about one of them birthday shofar blasts? All right, we handed them out with candy. By the way, how about those socks? I don't want to talk about it. 701, weekend movie streaming suggestion for Matt and Mike, as I suspect Sam is likely to have seen that film 20 years ago. Hilarious indie mockumentary was released that brought the story of NWH, the most controversial hip-hop act. It was a homage to This Is Spinal Tap, Fear of a Black Hat.
Never seen it.
It was
okay.
It's pretty funny. I like CB4 better than that.
I knew a couple of the guys in that.
CB4 is a funny movie.
Sully McCullough in that one? I can't remember. Klug. Hi, Sam. Only getting back because my show Klug was not picked up. Hi, Pop Phil. So, Matthew Film Guy, you were making Waiting for God?
God? Godot?
I don't know. Kenny Pick. Bronson with Tom Hardy is a great film with a great soundtrack. It's on Netflix. Transparent with Jeffrey Tambor on Amazon is a great new series.
Oh, yeah. I thought about checking that out.
I've thought about that. I heard good things. Godwin. Hey, it's my birthday. Can I get a shofar? Or Michael's just saying Just War in Obama's voice.
This is a Just War.
There you go. DX Fool. Hey, Sam. Happy Yom Kippur. Wonder if you're going to SNL tomorrow night to watch alumnus and star Who's the Caboose, Sarah Silverman host. Seth Meyers was fanboying over her last night on her show because apparently she's from his hometown. Indeed, near Adam Sandler's in Manchester.
Oh, she also told this funny story about how she stabbed Al Franken in the head once with a pen by accident.
I remember that.
She was trying to like push it through his Jufro, and she completely missed and stabbed him right in the temple.
Name drop Friday.
It's really nice.
I will not be there. I've already given her grief. I was like, how are you going to
go crawling
keep your
back.
Energy up fasting all day tomorrow?
By the way, Michael Che, who was in Teacher's Lounge, is now the Weekend Update anchor. One of our best episodes.
Yeah.
Check it out.
He was good. He was good.
Yeah, for Kitty, I'm glad you and Nikki have enjoyed the killing so much. Now you can watch the Dutch version.
Oh, that's right. It was a remake. Yeah.
Little White Lies. You know what? I saw the filmmaker last night on Hayes. It's a fascinating story.
What's that one?
It's a documentary. I don't know if it doesn't seem to be available streaming, but it's still in the film festival circuit. Woman grows up in Woodstock, New York, Jewish family, and she applies and gets into Georgetown. She gets accepted, and they presume that she is African American because of her photo.
I saw this movie.
You saw it?
It was called Soul Man.
Oh, no. This is a documentary.
Oh, sorry. My mistake.
And it turns out she pieces it together, I guess, while she's in college. I'm not sure the details. Based upon sort of like whispers growing up in her family that she is...
Oh, my God.
Half African American. Because her mom, her father was not the father that she thought she had.
Interesting.
And she had just gone through life thinking that she was just slightly Semitic looking. Uh-huh. And
but the entry board nailed her.
But yeah, and so I don't know what happened after that. But
interesting.
It is interesting.
It's crazy.
Jay-Z won. Hipster satire, oxymoronic much. Also, props to Matt for picking up on Shingeki no Kyojin, Attack on the Titan, to make it easy for you, Sam.
Oh, yes, there we go.
Film guy Matt, did you watch True Detective?
Yes, I did.
Do you think it was rushed at the end?
Yeah. As much as I love the entire show, the ending was a little bit of a letdown, but I still enjoyed it. I love that moment.
We got to watch that one. I think Nikki and I may
probably
next.
You will like that
one of the
show,
best police procedurals I've ever seen.
The International Hour, the movie I just watched, but indifferent about Space Station 76. Anybody?
Oh, I want to see that. That looks good.
Jimmy Reefer Cake. Hey, guys, have a nice weekend. Thank you, Matt Weiss, for liking me on Facebook. Matt, I really enjoyed your short film with the guy jerking off.
Oh, The Big Jerk. Yeah, classic.
It's literally called The Big Jerk.
The Shabby Man Whistle. Sam, telling the truth can be dangerous business. Honest and popular don't go hand in hand.
That's from Ishtar.
Is it? Okay. Quintile. Has film guy Matthew heard any buzz, good or bad, about the Jeremy Renner film Kill the Messenger?
No.
About Gary Webb. That I really want to check out.
I love Jeremy Renner. He was great in that Louis episode.
Oh, we have him on Moshi Moshi. I have never had a plumber, electrician, or contractor that wasn't dramatically appalled at the last guy's work.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
L.R. Porter, did that mean POTUS take a dig at faux news? The full joke, while good affordable health care might seem like a fang threat to the freedom of American people on Fox, it's working pretty well in the real world. Pool Pro, heads up, Sam. I just watched the trailer for Hellaware. Check out the trailer before you watch it with Mila. It does not look appropriate for a 9-year-old.
Oh, God, no. Don't watch it with Mila.
Sandinista, MFG, have you seen Justified? It's incredibly good, but it gets no love. Any thoughts?
No. I've heard about it, but it's not on my menu.
Canine Cats. The religious nut jobs with their HDTV loss are making me have flashbacks when I was forced to go to the Southern Baptist Church. I can't stand it. Right-wing Christian nut jobs are coming to get me. I turn 65 tomorrow. Congrats. Naughty boy Larry. Tell that pastor to log on to goarmy.com if he wants to show some America some love and step in front of some bullets to stop ISIS. Jeremo, Matthew, tried to take in TFF. Didn't plan for very long lines. Recommendations for attending next film festival?
The Tribeca Film Festival, Jeremo? I don't know. What's he asking me? I'm going to go see Mike Lee present his new movie this weekend at the New York Film Festival, which is I'm extremely excited about. That's called Mr. Turner. There's probably still tickets available for that, I think. But
all right, there you go.
Try to get into the New York Film Festival. Standby tickets.
PF 1800. Has film guy Matthew seen Room 237? If so, did you like it?
I tried to watch it. I just couldn't do it.
It's just such what wankery. It's not my...
It's basically just all these clips from Stanley Kubrick films while different people narrate the what their view of The Shining is, like what The Shining was actually about.
It's like conspiracy theories about the hidden messages inside The Shining. He faked the moon landing.
But like they didn't shoot anything for it. It's just this narration from all these different people, two clips from Stanley Kubrick films.
It
actually got really good reviews. I just couldn't do it though.
It's clever but to me it represents the worst kind of film analysis where you're just mapping these ridiculous sort of conspiracy theories onto the film regardless of what the filmmaker intended.
Three words, Trailer Park Boys. System of hash coins that Ricky invented is sure to take over Bitcoin, says Jimmy Reefer Cape. Hope fell. Today's job report revised upwards. August numbers from 140 to 180. This month's report is at 248,000 for September. So far, 2014 is averaging 220 a month, up for 193 in 2013. We're picking up and we could almost add 3 million jobs in 2014. I hope the numbers have been going up every year since Obama's first year in 2009. We now have unemployment in the fives. Yes, but if you look at the U6, you know that employment is closer to, I think, 11-something. We have 3 million long-term unemployed now, over 27 weeks.
And the wages suck.
And wages, soft. Nine Spine. I recently started looking at men's rights arguments to debunk them, and honestly, their numbers are extremely compelling despite their terrible rhetoric. I'm finding it very hard to be honest with myself. I ignore things like massive sentencing disparities between men and women or the fact that a man who calls the police on an abusive woman is more likely to get arrested than the woman is.
The pressing issue of our day.
E. Greg, have a good Yom Kippur, Sam. You too, Greg, and you and all your listeners, I say. If I have offended or bored you in any way, I apologize. I hope to do better next time. No, Greg, I enjoy it.
I like the Russian accent.
We got to mix it up, you know, sometimes. We can't always, can't keep you on the phone for too long all the time. But one more shofar for Greg. I appreciate the participation. Louis Brandeis. No love for HBO miniseries Generation Kill. I consider it to be the anti-Band of Brothers.
I liked it very much.
Didn't see it. Is it a war movie?
Yeah, it's that's the David Simon, right? That's the.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I actually, on another tip, the show, it got canceled because it probably was absurdly over budget. But Rome was a show on HBO that was, wasn't amazing, but it was pretty good.
I didn't get into it.
The final I Am of the week, folks. Just a reminder, looking forward, next week, Thursday and Friday, I'll be in Vegas. Matt and Mike, midweek next week on Wednesday. See you Monday. Oh, wait. Actually, wait. Let me do the final I Am.
Whoa.
Brig Guy, Matt, watch Black Mirror. Epic reminds Twilight Zone. Love the show, guys. Stay good. All right, folks. Sweet. Have a great weekend.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want. But I know somehow I'm going to get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are going to kick in. And my pilot light shining bright. I get somewhere the choice is made. For the option where you don't get paid. For the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get somewhere I lost the drive.